When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yo, you listening to the Oprah Rose Show with TT and Gigi, and yeah, get it poppin'.
Thoughts. Everything begins with thoughts.
She's a slut, she's a hoe, she's this, she's that.
We say to girls, you can have ambition, but not too much.
It's about people being uncomfortable with women owning their sexuality.
What is the truest, highest vision that you hold for yourself?
I'm a real ass bitch, and I'm gonna get everything that I'm gonna get on my own.
I know for sure. You don't get what you wish for. You get what you believe.
Hi.
Hi, guys.
Episode. You went from a hi.
Hi, guys. Because I was like, what episode is it again?
127.
Episode 127 of the Oprah Rose Show. I'm TT.
And I'm Gigi.
Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for bearing with us. I know we had a week off last week. I think every time our excuse is always bitches is busy, but bitches is busy. So, you know, we are really trying to keep up with this consistency. We have been, but just 1 week off. And you can always tune into old episodes, or you can write into the Oprah Rose Show at gmail.com. Like, follow, subscribe, tell a friend.
Woo!
So, hey, friend. Find a friend. So our guest today... First of all, you know we love guests that bring gifts.
Oh, yes.
In particular, libations. Always here for a good drink. And yes. It's a Saturday. It's nice. It's cute outside.
It is cute. Summer not trying to leave.
And it's over. But I'm welcoming it. Like, I wanted to go on a picnic, but I got to wash the conditioner on my hair first. And then we'll see where the rest of the day may take me.
I don't know.
Yeah. We met over drinks, actually. We were at Peaches, and I don't know what happened. I was probably arguing, per usual, or going back and forth, rather. And I think we asked your opinion on something, you being Victor.
Hey.
And
Wait, so he was just a random patron?
He was sitting next to us, yeah.
Oh, y'all was at the bar.
Yep. And
you a mouse?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then... You just had so much insight. Like, I think we damn near closed the place down. We did, actually.
Are you a regular there?
At Peaches?
At Peaches?
I live around the corner, so.
Okay. I no, because when I came in, Victor looks very familiar. And I'm like, I know you, I see you, and now you say Peaches, and I go there all the time. So
yeah,
I'm like.
Yeah, in that little lap, you got Peaches, you got Chilo's, you got Speedy Romeo, you got, you know. Corners, like all those restaurants, so yeah.
Okay.
I've been known
to frequent those. So you probably saw them at Peaches. And then, you know, they say what they say, all black people that can read, one degree of separation, or something like that.
Facts.
Okay. And so we're like, let's have him on the show. Victor, welcome.
Hey, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for coming. Did you go to Michigan State? You have
I certainly did.
Okay.
There's a game today, and so after this, I'm going to watch the game with people, you know, that went to the school. So
got it. Okay.
Where are you from originally?
I am from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Holy shit. Grand Rapids is like maybe an hour north from Elkhart, Indiana, which is where I'm from.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
My dad, he worked in Gary, Indiana.
Okay,
he was
yeah.
the assistant superintendent there.
Okay, so, assistant superintendent.
He was a
I was like, church?
Deacon Burke.
I was actually talking about like the levels of people at churches today this mm-hmm. morning.
Oh.
And there's a superintendent at a church?
Yep.
Oh my God.
So it would be like more of a district. So similar, I guess, to like a school district. You'll have like the pastor of the church, but then even still, he has a quote unquote boss or someone that he would report to.
I don't like stuff like that. This was a whole.
And then it depends what denomination, like correct. Baptist or whether it's Pentecostal.
Mm-hmm. Or what? Okay.
Yeah, so like ABC is like the one for Baptist and then mm-hmm. all that. So you was raised in church?
I was, yeah, Kojic.
Okay, yep. Mm-hmm. Kojic, that's the ones with them long denim dresses.
Yep, that was me. Yeah.
Like, I had never heard of that until we met. Like,
mm-hmm. I was like, it's like the equivalent of like Black Amish. It's
okay. Damn.
Very cultish.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. Look, because they had the church that I rode past today had Prophet on it. And I was like, oh my God, like a tarot card reader. And he was like, no, it's from demons and da 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 da. And I was like, okay, all right. Same church gift. Queen. Yeah, that's exactly what I said. Same but gift. I was like, the same thing is like the lady that I go to is Christian. Like mm-hmm. she speaks about like your guardian angels and, mm-hmm. and this and that. And like light a candle. She told one of my friends she needed to pray more. And he was like, went on this whole tangent about it not being from God. And I was like, okay, well, child, I'm an atheist. I don't know what to tell you. I love the Lord. But I was like, ain't nothing stopping me from going to my tarot card reading lady. And I was like, and it's a gift. And she, it doesn't feel like demonic mm-hmm. or, you know, I leave feeling good. And right. she, and you know, you also have to go in accepting the good and the bad. Like right. she didn't tell me anything good, but I know people who have gone and heard bad things and then they came to fruition. And not that you like manifest it, but mm-hmm. she's honest.
Right.
Yeah.
And not a demon.
Right.
I think people need inspiration from different things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you have life coaches, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they can sort of see where you've been, talk to you, get a sense of, you know, like who you are.
Yeah.
And then sort of point you in the right direction, right? And I think certain people have that sense of intuition. And when you have that, yeah, like whether you go to tarot cards, whether you go to a life coach, whether you go back to church, like you're really just trying to find ways to really center yourself and put yourself in the best position.
Yes. Absolutely. And that's what it was. Absolutely. I was just like, not even that I needed reassurance, but I was like, oh, I'm like all over the place. And yeah. I just, like, I think I needed her to be like, look, you're going to be all right. You're going to be lost. And she literally told me, like, you're going to be really lost at first in this new job, but mm-hmm. you're going to figure it out and you'll be good. So I was like,
oh. Congratulations on the new job.
Yes, congratulations.
Yeah. Booked and busy.
I love that song. That is such a sad song. It has been so overwhelming, like mm-hmm. everybody's support. Like yeah. I had like 50 DMs of just like random people reaching out. Mm-hmm. I have every rapper in the United States of America submitting me their SoundCloud.
Oh, wow.
That's good.
But it was really overwhelming.
Right, same.
It was super duper overwhelming. Like at one point I was at work and was like getting emotional. I was like, oh my God, this is everything. It's so damn sweet. But yeah,
you deserve it.
It's been good. So, are you in a relationship? Just get to it. Rip the Band-Aid off. I just like the context of where people are coming
from.
Yeah,
so I mean, it's
yes or no, psych.
Yeah, you're no, a nigga about to be a nigga.
It's difficult. It's really difficult because, you know, came out of something and then now there's, you know, yeah, like, so it's difficult. It's difficult. We're going to leave it at that.
Came out of something.
Yeah.
So that something is completely dissolved, or is that the now difficult component?
No. So long story short, you know, been with somebody for a really long time, difficulties in that thing. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, so we tried to work through it. And then, you know, obviously, you know, life happens. And so I just think I'm in a difficult place right now in terms of relationships.
Ah, yeah. Okay. That's okay.
Fair. Yeah.
So, okay. And so you being in a long-term situation,
mm-hmm.
there was like this whole thing floating around with Fantasia and she went on The Breakfast Club and she was saying, you know, like you have to submit to a man. And you know, she used the word submission. And then she like broke it down kind of as, you know, like we have generational curses and that's why we can't submit. Mm-hmm. And so she got a lot of backlash from it. And mm-hmm. I don't think anybody was like, yeah, submission. But then I think when she broke it down, and she broke it down with her husband as well. And then they went on to like, to me, what they said together seemed like a partnership. Like it wasn't, mm-hmm. you know, she was like, you can't, like the woman is like the neck and the man is the head. You obviously can't have either without, you need a neck if you got a head and vice versa. Like right. you need both. you know, and he talked about like submitting to God and like, but you also, there's, I think the key thing with submission is trust. So you have to be able to trust someone first mm-hmm. to submit. So after, because at first, you know, when I first saw it, I was like, ain't nobody doing all that. Well, when they broke it down, I was like, sign me up, baby. Shit, submission, submit.
But even that word does not, it's not a reflection of what they mentioned. So that's why I think it's very interesting that they use that word of choice. Mm-hmm. Because it really is, to your original point, it's a partnership. And what's wrong with saying that word?
Yeah.
And I think that that is my only, I wouldn't even say issue. It maybe my more criticism or critique. And I think that that is very dated. I also didn't like how she referenced the Bible about all of that. I don't like how people like
you
to
know
reference
I don't
the Bible.
Know. Shoot.
So it, I mean, it's, no, it's, I don't it's know. In there. You yeah. know, it's yeah. it's in there. But
which they also use the some Bible of the other to, dated to justify, concepts.
Right. Yeah. They use the Bible yeah. to justify slavery and yeah. and making women second class citizens and mm-hmm. all of these other things. And not just the Bible. There are other like deities or deity based scriptures or words or documents or whatever to make those same claims. So that's my, I guess, my only critique of that. Victor is literally over here itching to get.
Yeah, I mean, I think the issue is so that comes from this verse that says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your husband." Mm-hmm. You know, just as you know, the church is supposed to submit to Christ and all that. I think the issue for me is the Bible was written a really long time ago mm-hmm. by a very specific group of people that had a very specific agenda. Just so you know, so my undergrad was in mathematics and religious studies. So a lot of...
Oh, so you know, no.
I mean, I've read some things, right?
Okay.
But I take issue with it because I think that one of the things that as we continue to grow, develop, and evolve as a people, we realize that we have to continually challenge the things that we thought yesterday to put us in a better place today. And so yeah. when I hear her talk about submission, excuse me, it comes from a place of... To me, it comes out of a place of deficit. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's okay for people to have roles in relationships. Like, you
totally
can do
agree.
This and I can do that, mm-hmm. right? But it's like, if it sounded one-sided to me, as if she's saying, you know, this is what my role is submit to my husband. And it's like, well, we both submit to each other
right.
in certain ways. And I would have rather she talked about the submission that needs to happen from both perspectives
yeah.
as opposed to this is what the wife is supposed to do. My parents have been married for over 50-something years. And so it's interesting to watch their relationship because it's never been one of inferiority. It's never been one of... It's always been about compromise.
Mm-hmm.
And I think every relationship that is successful, like there is that give and take. And I think when you hear the word submission, it goes back to this really gender mm-hmm. normative behavior that women have a particular place and men have a particular place. But what is it? You know, you can cut the grass. I can wash the dishes.
Right.
I can cook. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? It's like mm-hmm. we figure out what works. But if I can cook better than you, why do you need to be in the kitchen?
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? So,
agreed.
Yeah, you just... We just need to have a bigger conversation about what we need to do and what we need to get from each other out of relationships. And it doesn't come from a place of, because they said this, you know, thousands of years ago, this still holds true.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to challenge it more.
And I think what she said, granted, yes, like statistically, like women are making more money. So they are the heads of households in some cases. But like, she just made it seem so. And first of all, I ain't nobody taking no damn advice from Fantasia. Also, let me start with that.
I'm glad you said it.
Let me start with that. You're like, I never should have let you go.
It literally took me. Somebody had to send me, I think, the damn video clip of her husband, because I did like briefly skim through her talking on the Breakfast Club, and I was like, I don't give a fuck about what Fantasia has to say.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. You, not
offense,
once have
I'm just
I ever
not interested.
Try to hear what Fantasia had to say ever.
Especially not as it pertains to relationships.
Like, yeah, sorry, Fanny. Like, stick to the singing.
Keep singing,
sis. Keep singing.
It's like the Dave Chappelle thing. Like, you know, when 9/11 happened, people were calling Ja Rule. It's like, I want to talk from Ja Rule.
I don't want to hear from you. Like,
yeah.
And I think it's interesting. Ja. Like, what is something that you said your parents have been married for over 50 years?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is something that, like, if you had to take like three things that you learned from them?
So it's funny that you say that, because one of the things that I take from them is like, they didn't teach me how to have a good argument. Like, my parents don't argue. And so
mine don't either.
And it's frustrating because I argue all the time in relationships. And I think I would
so
have.
So do I.
See? I'm sorry, you know what I'm saying? It's just, no, it's well, just the same thing. It's like.
Apple don't fall, like the tree for, fall for, far from the tree for
I
me. So
I argue all the time. And I wish I would have seen how they resolve arguments. And, you know, so it's sort of like what I took from that is like when I am in a relationship and when I have kids and as I'm, you know, raising them, I think they need to see examples of how to have arguments, how to, like, you know, resolve things. So that was something that I took out of that relationship. They have a really great team. They're a great team. It's funny because my dad yesterday, he was at a bachelor party. My dad is 73 years old.
Wait a minute. Wait, who is getting married?
Look, he was
it
like,
his nephew or something?
It's his friend. You know, older people are getting married again. You know what I mean? Like they
I heard one last week. Yeah,
they divorced or, you know, somebody passed. And then, you know, they end up, you know, at these little meetups, these little, you know, networking old people meetups.
Now, you know what,
tea and crumpets.
Like, I'm like, right.
No.
At the church.
Where was I?
Some Mahjong and some.
I forget where I was at. I was somewhere and they were talking about how the STD cases are rising amongst senior citizens.
They're getting it in.
What?
I mean,
because yes.
At this point.
Yeah, they are, you know, people are living longer, maintaining a healthier lifestyle.
Also just younger. Everybody's like, you're younger. At
60
the best
now
I've ever
than you
are.
Same.
Aging gracefully.
Yeah. Same. And so, and now we have all of these resources to utilize so that we can still fuck. And so, yeah. You know, they've been married, divorced, so they don't understand, like, no, sis, I don't care that you're 65, you still got to wrap it up, especially if you get in your groove on and you fucking a 40-year-old.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He might still be swimming in some 28-year-old and hence the rise in the senior citizens' STD rates.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's at a bachelor party, called my dad and he's talking. He's like, oh, yeah, I'll call you right back. And then I called my mom and she was like, yeah, your dad's out. He's been drinking. Might have to go pick him up later. But you know what I mean? It's just
That's hilarious.
They know each other and they... I mean, again, like, you know, if you've been married for 50 years, they've known each other for another 10, like, that's 60 years of just understanding each other. And so just...
How?
Right.
Look, I don't know.
Now, that's who the fuck I want to hear on the Breakfast Club.
That's on the
overall
show. I mean, just like, how? Yeah, right.
Yeah, so it's... So, again, I think just, you know, and I think Michelle Obama talked about it, you know, like, finding somebody that can be on your team. You know, like, if I'm going to be doing this, then you can be doing that. You know, learning how people work together, right? Some people don't like washing dishes, right? Some people don't like doing certain things. So you find ways to, like, wherever I'm coming up short, I need to help you, you know, or vice versa, right? Mm-hmm. And I think really just coming up with a plan and being communicative, that's one of the biggest things I think that I get out of relationships is, like, how do you talk? How do you tell someone when you're hurt? How do you tell someone when you're frustrated? How do you tell someone when you're sad? How do you tell somebody, I'm not having a good day right now, and all of a sudden we arguing about you having a shelf open, right? And it's like, you know, close the motherfucking shelf.
Triggered!
And exactly, but it's like the thing that you're mad about is not the thing that you're yelling about.
You're absolutely
right. How do you have a bigger conversation about things? Yeah, well, but you have to be investigative with yourself. I mean, every time I've been in a relationship and, like, you know, there's been an argument over something little, I just always say, what are we really mad about? Tell me what you're really upset about, because it can't be this. I just walked in the room. I just got home. So what are we actually mad about? Because most of the time it's a pattern of behavior that reminds you of something else that you don't like from somebody else. And you're just like, you know what? Fuck that shit. You're not going to do to me what Michael did to me and Troy. And you're like, oh, whoa. I don't even know who those people are.
Right.
Who the
fuck
is
Michael?
Right. So communication is always at the center of really healthy relationships. Mm. And so, yeah, that's something I take away too.
Okay, we got to stay right there for a second.
That was a lot to unpack.
Okay, because my conditioner's dripping down my
literally
neck.
Literally dripping.
I am triggered as
I think
fuck.
The first thing that stuck out to me was that you wish, or maybe not that you wish, but what you want to impart on your own children when you have them is how to resolve conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's a less than favorable situation where it's heated, a debate of some sort. I never really thought about that.
I haven't. When you said
that's
it,
so
I was
important.
Like,
That's a skill.
I was like, my parents still together. But I think I've learned, like you said, you haven't seen it. So I've seen what I don't want to happen. Yeah, you don't, like you said, you don't see the resolve. Like, you don't see that side of it. You just see, like, my parents don't argue, but, you know, I get a little heated sometimes.
Yeah.
But I don't even know how it's resolved, you know? And I know how my mother is. My mother is the type that's just going to shut down. She will not speak. She does it to me. Yeah. Like, she literally does not speak. So I know she's doing the same thing. And I try to not do that because of that.
Yeah.
To not do the shut down, let's just, like, it'll blow over type shit.
And that, you know, there's health risks in that. Every time you push something down, it's still active in your body. You know, you know, we get skin issues, we get, you know, sick, like pushing things down doesn't help you.
Mm-hmm.
And in the long run, you know, it'll come back to bite you. So learning how to, you know, therapeutically vent those things that frustrate you, like, there's power in that. And yeah, how do you do it? Especially because now, like you said, like, women, there's avenues now and there's pathways for them to have voice, and there's beauty in that. And so you'll be with a woman and be like, first of all, motherfucker, I make more than you, and you can get the fuck out. And you know, and you're just like, all I said was, did you want, you know what I mean? It's just, you trying to find ways to, like, you know, kick it. And it's like, so when you are upset or when two people are yelling at each other, it's like, you need to find better ways than to just, you know, yell at the issue or yell at the person. It's like, how do we speak to, like, being healthy? You know what I mean? Because healthy relationships, like, we just don't see examples of it. Everything we watch on TV is toxic.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see examples of people really working things out, because, you know, we do argue. You know, I've hit a wall before, like, literally hit a wall in an argument, you know. And for some people, you know, that can be triggering. It's like, you know, are you going to whoop my ass next? You know what I mean? Excuse me. So it's like finding just really, you know, successful, helpful, repeatable, sustainable ways to be with somebody, you know, it's just really important, because you are going to argue at something, or you're going to push it down.
And like you said, that's not how, as I think, I can speak for both of us, like, you don't say anything.
No.
You look like you fight a lot.
I look like I fight a lot.
And because you don't look like you fight a lot, I think you fight. You know what I mean? Like, you have like a, okay. But it's like when it's good, but then it's like when that switch hits. I think you hit a switch.
And then it's like, boom.
Yeah.
I'm a bottler.
Okay.
And so when it does come out, it's literally because you left the cap off of the toilet. I mean, not the toilet, the toothpaste.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all turkey.
Yeah.
Taking the turkey. You know, that turkey, I don't think I'll ever cook that type of turkey.
What?
Ever the fuck again in life.
This is a Thanksgiving argument?
No. So I was... I don't know why. And you know what? And now I'm thinking, like, why are we both kind of, like, in the past, I wasn't expressive. And if there was an issue, I would just, like, with my ex-friends, I was just like, oh, it'll blow over. It'll be fine. Da 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 da. Then, like you said, you're completely mad about something else. As I got older, definitely realized that wasn't healthy. And to be honest, I'm still working through. My mouth is, like, crazy. So what I noticed starts to be like, too. But why the da 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 da?
And I then don't it's fight like fair.
Yeah, and then it becomes, see, and I won't say anything too crazy, but my approach kind of sets the tone. So because my approach, I already started off with, like, tone, something you probably don't want to hear, then it becomes the back and forth. So now I realize you can't even hear me because my tone already set the tone essentially for the rest of what's to come.
Yeah.
So now we're not talking because I don't know what it was, but I just asked him to take the goddamn turkey. And I've talked about this before on the show, but I asked him to take the turkey out of the fridge. It didn't happen. And I exploded. Like, I think I drank an entire bottle of red wine. We did not speak for 3 days. Oh. And it got really bad. It was like the worst argument. Over a turkey. And then here's the catch. There was no turkey in the house.
Damn.
There wasn't even any turkey.
There's never.
So it really was your fault.
It was, yeah. But you still should have said, "We no goddamn turkey." But I digress. I was having a bad day at work, and I think there was, like, other bubbling things, and so I've been trying to effectively communicate. Now, the other night, did I do it? Not really. Again, I'm a work in progress. Right. I am still. This is every day ending in why.
You're getting worked on.
I'm getting work. So that's why I'm like, we used to do challenges. I don't think we've done one probably all of this year.
You and I have to
try to work on.
I already don't like this challenge. I want to say stuck in my way.
No, bitch, no. Because to your point, it is not healthy. Because it, you, like, you ever been at work arguing with your nigga? That is the worst. You be in meetings like, I don't care. This company could burn to shreds. I don't care. I got to get things right. Like, nothing is right. So I can't imagine that festering. Because, you know, it's heavy. Like, it's super heavy. Focus. No.
You said something that, you know, just got me thinking. You sometimes when people argue, they don't fight fair, and they'll and that's that's the thing. Like when you're vulnerable with somebody, they know the very thing that they can say to make you feel small.
Yeah,
right. And feeling small just it never works out. And so if you have another person that doesn't fight fair as well, now you guys are just hitting each other under the belt.
Yeah,
and you're not even talking about the issue anymore.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know what I mean.
That part. That's why I said mine is my tone. I know if I did not fight fair, we would not be together. I do know that, like, because my mouth is it's super crazy. So I have been able to like scale back on that part, but I know and that tone, it's my mother. Yeah. Like I've heard things that my mother has said to even me or and you're like, you can't talk like that. You can't tell people stuff like that. Right. And your tone is fucking insane. So that's what I'm going to work on.
Your tone.
Yeah, and you are going to work, because now I say everything. Not everything, obviously, picking and choosing your battles. But if it really is bothering me and we're going on, it's week two, I'm like, this isn't going away. This is something that's clearly bothering me. So I need to effectively, the way I have communicated that also needs to change. Mm-hmm. And I need you to communicate.
Look,
I got a race.
Look, not only will I be challenged,
we will both be challenged.
But think about it, like when you're at work and you're upset, and you like you're upset with a colleague, the first thing you do to get it out is you start, you know, crafting an email, and then maybe you'll have a colleague come over and like be like, "Hey, how does this look?" Yeah. You know what I mean? And if you're doing that at work, there's sometimes when I'm really upset in a relationship, I'll sit down and write, and be like, "Let me write out what I would say to this person." And
I
like,
do too. I have so many of my notes.
Finally, when I come to them, like, one time I had so to
time.
One time I had to read it, and I was like, "Listen, I'm really upset. I'm going to read this to you. Just know that I'm trying to find ways to talk to you about this, but I'm really mad."
Getting all the points that, because then I, like you said, I wrote from a flight from LA to New York a whole note. That is a 6-hour flight, and I literally stayed up like, the whole time.
Did you
because that, because to that point. And because we have talked about this, he literally said, if you were at work, you wouldn't say these types of things and you wouldn't say it like that. I'm like, oh, you're right. But I was like, but I ain't at work. So the fuck? I mean, right. I don't got to worry about shit. But again, it's effective communication. And I think when you write it down, like, I can see where I was like, oh, I would feel a way if I read this like this. Mm-hmm. And then I can go back. Oh, I edit it. Like, I'll do a whole train ride. Like, from my house to work. I just deleted one this morning. No lie. This morning, I deleted one. I write notes for everything that I'm like, not okay about.
Or okay about, too. Just in general.
Do you express them, though?
No.
That's not part of my life.
You know what, though? This is making me think of that Nikki Giovanni and James Baldwin dialogue where she was discussing with him, if you have a bad day, you need to lie to me too.
Yeah. Oh,
because you love me. You lie to the cracker at the job.
Yeah. Mm.
You need to lie to me too because I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, to a degree, some level of bottling, because your issue could still be with Nikki Giovanni. He could still have an issue with her. Mm-hmm. But I'm lying to you because if I don't like my boss, but I'm smiling his face too, like
I'm reading The Bluest Eye by Toni Morrison now, and I think this was like Thursday, and I was actually telling somebody the other day, and the chapter that it was when we did Hello White People. So we just did, shout out to Hello White People, and we just did their podcast. And it literally was saying how, you know, like the all of the relationships, like you said, I was really trying to think of like a healthy example of relationships that we see on TV. And then I was like, well, I only watch like Power. And I was like, well, I don't even think my shows are conducive.
Right.
are my shows are couldn't, and Basketball Wives certainly ain't it. I was like, none of these things are conducive for even seeing healthy relationships. But this is, you know, like 1940 or something, right. And it's like the husband has taken all this shit all day long at work. Mm-hmm. So it's like, so he coming home, he beating on the wife, he beating on the kids because again, it's misdirected anger. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, to that point, and I don't want you to come home and lie to me per se, but you need to effectively get it out somehow.
And I remember, so I've gone to couples therapy, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm progressive as fuck, yo.
I love it.
So, but when I remember, you know, when we were talking to the therapist, one of the things I talked about that I struggled with in the relationship is that I feel like your home is your sanctuary. It's your charging station, right? It's like we, especially, you know, as people of color walking out into the world, like we're attacked from the time we step out the door. Right. And so all these microaggressions, all these, you know, things that we deal with, the ways in which we're attacked at work in certain ways, the ways in which you have to push down, you know, as a black woman, you know, your aggressive, you know, disposition that people, you know, think that you have as a black man. Right. You know, you have to walk a certain way. You have to think a certain way. You know, we're code switching all the time. You know, this double mind that, you know, this double consciousness that Du Bois talks about. Mm-hmm. Right. We do that for ourselves. When you come home, and this person that you're with, you want them to kind of get it. And you want them to do things that intuitively they should just know. And when they don't
without
do
you
the
having
thing,
to do a deep because dive you're and like, a dissertation.
Why do I have to be at work at home? And so a lot of times our frustration, I think, comes out of the fact that we're like, why am I still working with you? I don't need to work with you when I come home. And when it feels like work, then you're fighting. Because you're like, but that's the thing though, is like we still need to work when we get home because there's work to do to make us better.
It's still work. That's something, I think it was like last month and it hit me. I was like, not that you just think relationships are super easy. I was like, oh no, this shit is just, like you said, getting up every day to go to work. A relationship is the exact, it's literally the exact same thing. Yeah.
It is.
It's like, I don't know, you have this like fairy tale idea, like, oh, it's just gonna be butterflies and da 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 da. And it is very far from that some days.
Listen, I remember one time, it was maybe like, you know, you wake up in the middle of the night, you go use the bathroom, you come back. It was like 5 a.m. And, you know, she was like, hey, can you go get me some water? All right, cool. Went and go got some water. Came back. She's like, can you turn the heat up? I was like, all right, cool. Turn the heat up. She's like, can you go? I said, God damn it.
He was the indentured servant.
I was like, now listen, you ain't going to keep giving me tasks at 6 a.m. in the morning. But it's like, that's what it is. Like, you feel like you're punching in and you like, I got to get things off my ticket. And it's like, okay, like, and so there is this amount of work. But, you know, relationships are beautiful, they're amazing, and they have the potential like to really, you know, like, yeah, we love them, but I mean, shit, you know, it's like you're working for your pension, you know.
Oh my God.
Working for your happiness.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's a fight to be happy.
So you said coming home and dealing with stuff and expecting the person to like kind of know, you know, what you're going through or how your day was and stuff like that. There is our notes got messed up, but because I'm like looking and I can't find it. But basically, Jeannie Mai went on some radio show. You know, Jeannie Mai from She's from the Real. What else did she do before the Real?
Oh no, the real. The Real. My bad.
What did she do before that? I think she was like a host correspondent.
Yes, yep, stylist correspondent.
And she is Asian.
Yes.
Okay.
Vietnamese.
Okay, there we go. I didn't know specifically which culture, nationality. And she's dating Young Jeezy, of all people. I just really want to know how they met. And I haven't been able to, had a chance to dig into it. And she was talking about, like, learning each other's cultures. And I guess
people
she went
are
to,
pissed,
like...
by the way, about the Jeezy thing. Because my homegirl in Detroit, because, you know, Jeezy's
so many
the
people
trap
are pissed.
Rapper. And so they was like, really?
But, of all people. Like, yeah. You know, I don't care. I don't give a shit. Like, it love who you love.
Yeah.
But, I like I said, I just don't understand how they met.
People are pissed at her, too. Because of a previous comment that she made a few years ago, I guess for historical
she had
purposes.
Prior.
Yeah. So she used to be married to a white man, which is a very common thing amongst Asians and white men. Mm-hmm. There, I don't know what that's about.
The
I feel
model,
like somebody
the
should be
model minorities, and they're chasing the American dream, and they feel as if white people can get them to that place.
But
and so
you don't really see Asian men with white women, though. So that is the very that's a very interesting thing, and I would kind of like to see like see a deep dive or something, or documentary or whatever about that or around that. But anyway, so she used to be married to a white man, and this was when Tamar Braxton was still on The Real. Jeannie made a very, I wouldn't say salacious, but just, it wasn't a good comment, because I don't think that it was out of a place of like
malicious.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. But she said she loves black men.
Jeannie said this.
Jeannie said she loves black men, but she said it's more of like a side. And she was referencing like food. Like, I like it as a like a side option.
Like, it's good. And I don't need it, though. Right. It ain't the main course.
Yes. And then immediately mentioned how she's married to her white husband. So it just came off very distasteful.
Yeah.
And Tamar was basically like pressing her about it. So obviously, when she started dating Young Jeezy, people, you know, we have the Twitter history.
Well, she's also and she's going on a press tour about this relationship.
That
like,
too,
you know, and she's talking about embracing each other's cultures, which that could just be embracing each other. Like it doesn't even necessarily like literally that church stuff that we were talking about. That sounds horrible. Like that church shit that y'all be talking about.
That's like, you know, like,
I do not know. And I grew up in a church, but I don't know anything about. Different other religions or or whatever. That's still something that in a relationship you have to embrace. Like, I just can't get, again, I don't give a shit who Young Jeezy and Jeannie Mai date.
Right.
But do not go on a press tour. I don't even know she said this stuff. Like, I guess like these past comments.
This was old. This Tamar ain't been on The Real in like 4 years.
Yeah.
So, and obviously Jeannie was still married to her husband at that point. I think they divorced maybe like a year ago. And that was because he didn't want to have children, or he wants to have children and she does not. So anyway, now we're here, and I tell you, when they posted that photo of them on Instagram,
I need to see
the comments.
The comments. Wait, I will even pull it up for you.
Dragging him.
Well, so there's this thing, and this gets into like a, I don't want to get too deep into race relations and the ways in which
That's where we're going.
Well then here we are.
Here we are. You might not
want your thoughts.
There was a setup. Come on now, Eddie.
So it is difficult for people in today's age.
Showing him the photo, y'all.
Yuck. it looks photo opish.
It does. Y'all are at like a corner store.
Yeah, it just like, looks. I'm not saying yuck to the relationship. I'm saying yuck to the posturing and the posing of the.
Okay.
It looks like you're selling something.
It does.
Just perched in the comments for the giggles.
So there's this. People in today's age are not comfortable with the word racist. Everyone is like, I'm not a racist, you know, and you could say some real racist shit and somebody be like, yeah, that's racism. And they'd be like, well, I'm not racist. So I, in my own life, in my own constitution, what I've tried to tell people is if you're uncomfortable with the word racist, right, because it reminds you of burning crosses and hanging, you know, people, don't use that word. Maybe you have selective biases from other people that you still have yet to uncover.
Right.
And sometimes when people are talking, what they show you or what they reveal is that they still have work to do in terms of understanding what it is that we now find ourselves in this American experiment. Because you don't, like, even as we're talking about, you know, Asian people dating white people, right? Like, why does it happen? Why do these things happen? Why are black men over-sexualized? Why are black women over-sexualized? Why do these things happen? You know, why is it that a white man who is racist will still want to date a black woman? Like, what are all these things? And I'm saying that we still have a lot to unearth within ourselves about the biases that we have. So maybe you aren't a racist, but you certainly have some proclivities that would lend one to believe that you still have issues with race. And that's what you should do some work on. And last thing, it's any time you talk to a black person about race in America, they can point you to, you know, books from, you know, anywhere from Henry David Thoreau. You can talk about the history, you know, about America and all these things. You talk to white people about race who have all these great fucking opinions. Ask them, say, and do this as, you know, like you guys challenge each other. I'm going to challenge you. Next time a white person talks about race, say to them, what book have you read from, you know, an African-American perspective about race? can you give me one book? I have yet to find one person, one white person in my life that can say, I actually read a book by, you know, Henry Louis Gates. I read a book by, you know,
Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Anyone, right? Mm-hmm. You can go down the line. But they people know so much about race without knowing anything at all. Like they're casual, you know, race doctorates, but they've done no real work on trying to understand what this is and why, like, we feel like we have really substantial critiques about this nation.
It's very interesting that you said that, because I brought this up on Hello White People, the documentary that Chelsea Handler has on Netflix called Hello Privilege, It's Me, Chelsea. Mm-hmm. And I... At that moment, I hadn't watched anything, haven't watched any of it. I saw like a snippet when I was going to Top Boy, but I actually watched maybe like 25 minutes of it the other night because Top Boy got too heavy and I needed to take a break.
I can't really get past that because I also started on season 3. I did not know there were two other seasons, but I digress.
You literally have to get past the first episode on season 1, and it is so fucking good. I didn't mind that I only can't play
because of Drake, and then
no,
I didn't
not
know.
At all.
And I didn't know it was two seasons. I didn't even know Drake was
a part of it until I went to go start following some of the cast members.
Oh, okay, and I saw him post about it. Anywho, sorry. Okay, Chelsea Handler.
So, and immediately, I thought it was great that she. Let me not say great. I thought it was interesting that she decided to release a documentary about that, because it is a conversation that needs to be had. Mm-hmm. When I started watching it, there was a young black lady who made a comment to Chelsea, and I was like, that's it. And Chelsea went to Oakland, I believe, and it was like this black space. And she mentioned to the audience that she was working on this documentary about white privilege. And a young lady said, well, you know, feel free to cut this out or edit this out. But even you coming here to this black space to talk about white privilege is a very much privilege act. Because the problem isn't with us. It's with y'all. This isn't our problem, but you're making it black people's problem. Mm-hmm. Y'all need to talk amongst yourselves and stop bringing it to us. Mm-hmm. And I was like... That's it. It's like I couldn't really put an opinion around it, because I was like, I mean, there's a reason for this content, and I'm sure it needs to be here, but immediately I don't know how to feel about it.
So
and
did
it
she
really
talk
was
to
that.
White people? Oh, you only saw 25
after
minutes
that,
of it.
I saw 25 minutes of it, but after that, they changed the direction of the documentary, and she started talking to white people about that. And it was very interesting. I didn't finish it.
That is white privilege.
It's not our conversation to be had with y'all. You know, y'all need to have it amongst yourselves. But the reality of it is, and that's one thing that they were touching on, was that you don't want to talk about it, because then that means if somebody's down, we're up, and we address it, then that means we have the possibility to go down or be... the minority or the non-beneficiary of privilege, and who wants to give that up, which is the real reality and the real question behind this. What white person honestly wants to give up their privilege for floating around America and being able to benefit from all of the things that they benefit from just from their skin color alone?
And so they call this concept constructivism. And America was very quick to sort of replicate the same thing that they had escaped when they were in Great Britain are the same things that they recreated for somebody else, because they were the lower class. The people that came to America were the lowest class of people from Great Britain and left there for religious, you know, freedom, but came here and then found ways to create the same structures that they themselves did not want.
Right.
But they didn't want to do it with people that look like them. So this idea of constructivism is basically, in order for you to be a master, you need to have a slave. Mm-hmm. And they need that relationship. And one of the things you see right now, especially with modern day politics, with, you know, Trump and this white nationalism is that the pendulum swings, right? Is that every time, you know, a great thing happens, something else needs to come mm-hmm. in its stead.
It's natural order.
Yeah. And so, you know, people are like, oh, you know, this Trump thing is new. It's like, no, Trump isn't new. And I don't even talk about Trump because mm-hmm. I actually don't think Trump is the problem. Like, Trump is only the mascot that America has, right? If you want to talk about, you know, who we are, like, he didn't vote for himself. Millions of people voted for Trump, and they mm-hmm. knew what he was. So when we talk about, you know, race relations and this idea of, you know, really challenging the status quo, is that white people right now are having to deal with themselves in ways that they never did because it's in front of us. Mm-hmm. We have phones, we have TVs, we have media, and every time they see, you know, this image of themselves, they're having to confront it in ways. And so a lot of people, you know, they feel like they're the victim of, you know, people saying, you know, why do we have to challenge ourselves? I'm a good person. Mm-hmm. My parents weren't slaves. I didn't do anything wrong. But we're saying, no, like, you are recreating structures. You have privilege. You have something that you don't even, you have capital without you even doing anything.
Right.
And when you wake up in the morning, you're good. Right. You know, there's all these social experiments that happen about, you know, if you have a name that sounds like this, you can go on, you know, as far as you want to. When your name sounds like this, you know, you're limited in certain ways. When you show up to an interview and you look like this, you know, there's just all this capital around being white. And so, like you said, like, anytime there's a discussion, we're talking about, you know, what, you know, white people need to do. And they're talking to us about it. But it's like,
right. We didn't create this. We are only victims of it.
We're sitting in the game that you set up.
Yeah.
So.
I think we're doing pretty good when you really think about it. Shit. Like, what was that? There was that clip. I think it was like in San Francisco. It was, so where the fuck was it? And it was some white lady. And she was like leaving a CVS.
Oh, that was Los Angeles.
It was, okay. Was it LA? I was like, I knew it was like California.
Yo, the funny thing is the woman who she was verbally attacking is, well, former sorority sister, because she got, I forget what happens when you get
excommunicado.
Like, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
But
like, but how did it even get
random.
To that point?
Anyway.
You be doing some deep research. Right?
Well, no,
like,
because
you go
my,
40
my,
comments in. Like.
Because my big sister, she posted it and tagged the my other big sister, who was the recipient of the backlash. And I'm like, a dream? Like, the fuck?
Yeah. Then so you need to reach out to her. How did it get there? I have so many questions of how, if someone, and she was so calm, like, recording mm-hmm. it, and this lady is like, I'll kill a nigger.
Right.
I can't because, she's like, I can't because I'll go to jail. And she was so upset. I was like, what? And then there was like a white guy walking past, and he looked uncomfortable, but of course, he's not going to say anything. He's not going to interject into the situation mm-hmm. to say something. He's just like, looks super duper uncomfortable, continues to walk into the CVS. And I'm like, how did it get to this point?
If it had been reverse, he probably would have called the cops.
He would have jumped in. It's like, what's that show? What would you do with them people? And like, they be letting, I was watching this early this week, they be letting them black people have it. Yeah. Like, have it. Then white people would be like, well, Sally's probably having a bad day. Like,
they get the benefit of the doubt.
You get the benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm.
Did you guys watch the Revolt Summit?
I did.
Well, too.
I only watched the political piece.
I literally skipped church to watch that.
Okay. Yo, that was so good. I think that's the only thing that I watched. I didn't watch any of the other panels.
So what are your thoughts on Candace Owens?
I think I said this on Hello White People.
Alyssa's
too.
Not feeling it.
I said 90% of her I disagree with.
Okay.
But there is a 10% that I say I understand.
Mm-hmm.
I think that her strategic approach mm-hmm. to that 10% that I agree with is incredibly wrong, and that's why I dislike 90% of
what's
her.
What's the 10%?
The 10% is, like, how, she brings this up all the time. She brings this up all the time, and it although she brings this up all the time, her inability to really communicate the thought is a little bit wavery.
Mm-hmm.
And that's her approach when she talks about black families and the dismantling of the black family. Mm-hmm. I also agree with her because I talk about this over and over again on the show, is this idea that we have to be loyal to the Democratic Party in perpetuity. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with us black people as a whole being loyal to any political party in perpetuity. We have to only be loyal to those who are loyal to us. Mm-hmm. And what Candace Owens does is bring up true historical references in the Democratic Party not working in our favor, i.e. ripping the black man from the home, mm-hmm. i.e. the crime bill that was signed by Bill Clinton, mm-hmm. and he was revered by the black community. He was essentially the first black president, I'm using air quotes, prior to Barack Obama, when really he was the one who set in stone something that has all of our cousins locked up, two of mine still to this day. Mm-hmm. So I understand her point from that perspective. Everything else, though, her siding by the Republican agenda. Oh, actually, there's another good point that I agree with that she brought up on the Revolt Summit. And I was like, damn, I get it. And that is the fact that black people represent about 15% of the American population. Mm-hmm. What we do know from a collective, and even just down to the way that at my job and how we approach our marketing strategy, is who is going to be the next demographic, the next leading demographic. It's the Hispanic community, because they are growing in population, arguably will be the leading population of the United States in the next 10 years. And so everyone is starting to reconstruct and retarget that audience, which is another reason why the Republican Party is so aggressive to the border wall and calling it a crisis and all of these different things, because I hate to use the word invasion, but it's literally just, for lack of a better word at the moment, they're invading those red states. And who will people procreate with? It's the ones who they are around the most. So so there'll be a lot of biracial kids who are like, you know, Hispanics, El Salvadorian and white, or et cetera. And so it's everything that they're doing is literally in self-preservation of the white race. What Candace's point is that black people will be lost in the shuffle because we aren't growing to this mass amount to even compete with the Hispanic race and the Hispanic population. So our demand, or our place at the table, or our seats at the table, will be spoken for. Which is a very valuable point.
And she's talking about this in the Revolt Summit. I need to go back and watch this.
She couldn't thoroughly communicate her
idea. Of course, you know, I only saw clips. Yeah, so all I saw was like a TI clip. And after watching it, I was like, is he ever going to let her get her point out? I just want to hear it.
Which is unfair.
Yeah, and I was like, where's the moderator?
That's a very valid point. It's a very valid point.
And so she's trying. No.
Her saying that black people need to wake up into the fact that she's saying that we need to be on the Republican Party's side to slow down the Hispanic race so that we can maintain our seat at the table. I disagree with that. I agree with us waking up and paying attention to the fact that we are only 15% of the population, but I agree more so with Killer Mike, who mentioned we need to figure out who works better for us.
Yeah. Who was on the panel again? So it was Candace, Killer Mike, T.I. Mm-hmm.
And Katrina, I can't think of her Tamika last Mallory name.
Tamika Mallory was also there. Then Katrina, there was somebody else.
I can't think of her last name, but she is also a Republican and pro the Trump administration.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. Yeah. Do they only have her as the only opposing voice?
They have the other person. I hear all of that. I take your points. I do not. So it's one of those things, right? Like, everyone should have voice, mm-hmm. but sometimes voices can be dangerous.
Yes.
And I think they continue to make her a valid, you mm-hmm. know, they continue to give her validity. And it's difficult for me to hear her say things, because I have a friend, and when he talks, like, the non-keen ear would think that he just made a really good point. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, oh, he just said some bullshit.
Right? Yeah.
But because he'll start with a fact, and then he'll end with a fact, but everything inside, in between is some bullshit. So I call them bullshit sandwiches, right? Because I'm like, so it's like, she starts with this thing, she'll mm-hmm. say, this is what I think, fact. And then she'll say this bullshit, and then she'll end with, and that's why this is the thing, fact.
The 90%.
Right. Yeah, but I'm saying, but the thing is you still wouldn't eat a shit sandwich.
Right.
So even the buns are still, they got shit on them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I'm just saying, like, it's...
Don't nobody like a stale bun.
Right. You don't want the back of that bread.
I was about to say, yeah, because I'm going to definitely try to trick me and turn that bitch over. Yeah, yeah. I hated that type of sandwich.
Yeah, she that's who she is. Like, she's a right. back of the bread ass fact person.
Yeah.
So it's difficult for me to, like, hear her talk. And again, like... The political landscape and all this information, because, you know, Mike was challenging people. He's like, I want you to go read up and I want you to go read. That's a lot for motherfuckers to want to do after they've worked third shift to come home and then be like, let me go download Wikipedia and look up, you know, the history of you know, the radical Republicans. Nobody want to do that shit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like it's a lot to ask for.
Ain't nobody reading Stokely Carmichael,
right?
Though.
And Frantz Fanon.
I couldn't finish that book.
You know what I'm saying? It's hard. What we do want is we want trusted leadership that we can be like, you know, because when you had the SCLC, when you had SNCC, when you had all these different...
Started at Atlanta University.
Uh-oh, there she go. My dad was in SNCC. So when you had all these organizations, what you had was a dedicated leadership where you know these people had the best interests of the people, you know, at heart. And so now it's like there's this fractured leadership. Like, I don't know who... to really look to to say, all right, this is the direction that we should go, right? And so I think because of that, it's really difficult to really, you know, take in information because it's like, I'm good, you know, but as a whole...
Yeah, are we good?
Yeah.
Are we good?
But to... Fucking, I hate to even say this, but to Candace's point, we shouldn't be approaching anything blindly. And historically, Black people... have been doing that.
Genius
historically, meaning the last 35 years. No, I am an independent. I am a registered independent. So you have to own my vote. I tend to vote more Democratic. I also live in the most Democratic, progressive city.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm safe regardless. Yeah. I could unknowingly just probably vote Democratic, which is wrong. You shouldn't do that. But I could unknowingly do that. Here and I essentially would be okay because New York is a fairly safe place to do that. Right. But to her point, we do that blindly and we end up in situations that are unfavorable to us. So, you know, it's
but there's not a lot of favorable legislation.
And I completely agree.
So
with
it's
you.
Like it's like what are Republicans proposing that we should get on board with?
Absolutely nothing.
So then yeah. why what
So she her shit is a scam. I think her shit is a scam and she's utilizing some sound base to create an opportunity for her scam.
And she's married to a white man.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that about her.
Yeah. Like,
I also, to be honest, I'm not promoting that shit. You said what?
She ain't promoting that shit.
Yeah.
Talking about course, the black
but I'm also
family,
not surprised
the black
at
man
all.
Being removed. Yeah.
Can you be in a relationship with someone else and then come home? Let's say you do have a bad day, something with race, and let's say you are in an interracial relationship. Can you come home and talk about those things with that person?
I ain't never been in an interracial. I can't even say it. I dated
a Korean woman once, and I found that it seemed to me like she was listening more than had opinions.
Okay.
So I think that depending upon the partner you have, it's and you know it's also interesting because like when you talk about what's the woman that has the special Chelsea Handler, right? It seems like if her and I were in a relationship, she would have strong opinions about the things that I would say, and I'd be like, actually, you need to, you know what I mean? It's like when I have really good white friends, I tell them you could say that shit to me, right? But when we go outside, I feel like you should really tone down, you know, some of the things that you're thinking. Like strong opinions often reveal some of the things you think, and it's just like you're still off base. Again, like, you know, there is reading that needs to be done, and there if you really want to understand what this is like, that you have to really take time to study it. And a lot of people don't actually take the time. They think that you can watch Roots, they think that you can, you know, watch Menace to Society, watch Friday, you know, go to, you know, trap karaoke, and then all of a sudden, like, you good. You know what I'm saying?
You like, I'm black.
Right. And they think they know the story, but it's like, no, like, there's a lot more than just that. So,
but I think, well, I guess, you know, if let's say you are with a, I hate to say, a woke white, and you know, you're a woke white, but you're still not gonna understand like the very small nuances
that's not their job though either, right?
This is true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, this is very true.
I don't need you to know what's in my mama's, you know, barbecue sauce. Like, we ain't gotta go that deep.
Be like, what's in the blue can? Cookies or thread?
Right. Why y'all got that bottle of vinegar up there?
Why y'all got that Folgers with recycled fish grease?
Right, exactly. There's just a certain level, which was that Dave Chappelle skit when they had that game show. You know what I'm saying?
I know black people.
Wait, for the show or not?
The Chappelle show.
Oh, okay.
Show. Yeah. When he did the song from Good Times.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, now I remember. Okay. Yeah, like, and hang it. Black people don't know that shit.
But I'm saying white dude, the woke white, was the closest one to the answer.
Like, yeah, he was.
So it's like there's certain new, and again, like if you marry anybody from any, you know, the thing about being married to a black person is I think white people inherently know that we got the short end of the stick in this country. And so when we come home to like release, they know that there's an added pressure that as my loved one, you need to be a little bit more sympathetic than everybody else out there. And I, you know, so to your point, like how do you talk about that, right? Like I don't know how that would happen. I'm not interested in figuring out how that happens. But I do think you have to have someone that's really just there to listen and sort of take it.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts? Because I know that you said that you dated a Korean woman as your interracial dating experience.
Jeannie Mai, second plan.
She's Vietnamese.
Right. That's what I was just about to say. Psych. Don't you Vietnamese.
It lasted all of a month, by the way.
She said you was unpacking too much on her with your black shit. She needed to dumb down and go with a white man.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
What are your thoughts with dating women of a Hispanic ethnicity? Do you consider that interracial dating? And I bring that up because there was an interesting tweet that was floating around Twitter. And the initial tweet was from a gentleman who said, y'all never had a babe at your house when you was at work and you had a few things out of order and shorty straightened up for you while you was at work. And this young lady responded to that tweet and said, if you leave a bitch in your crib and she don't clean when you get back, she's a dirty hoe. Drop her. And then she further went on to tweet, not to be racist. You know, people always say that shit after,
before
they say some racist thing. I'm going to be racist or disrespectful.
Like, literally just say,
AKA,
I'm about to say some racist ass shit. I would honestly respect that more. So she says, not to be racist, but it's the black women coming at me for my tweet. Y'all going to end up just like your single bitter mothers and single grandmothers being so goddamn independent, laughing my fucking ass off. Let me cater to my man in peace.
Well, one, I wonder what ethnicity her man is.
Mm-hmm.
And fuck that bitch.
Right.
Like,
oh, yeah, for
like,
sure.
She's like, when we go low, we go lower.
We said that a long time ago, that we don't go high.
We go low.
I got time today.
Interesting thing about this tweet is this is like literally off of the heels of that Fat Joe excerpt where he said all Hispanics are black people. And I think I don't even want to say issue. I think a lot of people just really don't understand the breakdown between nationality, race, and ethnicity. They are three different things. Nationality, America, right? Race, you can be black of skin, and then ethnicity, you could be Jamaican, you can be El Salvadorian, you can be all of these different things, and those things come with different cultural practices.
Right.
So I understand Fat Joe with saying that all Hispanics are black people. Mm-hmm. I think that he was referencing the African diaspora and how, you know, essentially the slaves got dropped off. It literally just depends on what side of the Atlantic Ocean your black ass family got dropped off at, right? Which is essentially true. And then we've adopted different cultural experiences post that. But it was very ignorant to not acknowledge that there is a very much so ethnicity breakdown.
Yeah.
And black people, African American, chattel slavery babies are at the bottom of that totem pole. And that gives people like Poppin' X or whatever this bitch
name
was.
We not even
going to
give her name. No, we not even going to give her name.
We won't give her no platform.
No, that bitch.
At
that bitch,
A platform to speak
she
on.
She might be a really nice person.
At that bitch.
She was a little rude.
Like I said, when they go low, we go lower.
But you know social media. She might have been trying to, like, you know, I'm going to get more followers.
Twitter fingers.
Yeah.
Probably, just trying to, like, start shit and right, like, to that point. I literally
laughed when I read it.
Yeah, I did too. I was just like, no.
Because we would just be minding our business.
My dumb ass was like, well, what number date was this? Because, you know, I got OCD. So by default, I'm going to make a bed. I'm going to clean because I can't see mess. But then if it's like, I'm like, if it's 2 a.m. and it was a little tryst, I'm leaving. Like, I'm out. There's no, what cleanup is there happening?
My question was, you ain't had no job to go to, bitch.
Yeah, she's going to his job.
Right.
Where's your job?
I was just like, factual.
There's a lot of questions.
Sitting in this nigga's house all day.
I had so many questions. I was like, this has nothing to do with race and your single mom. Literally, I have to go to work. I might have to go to the gym before work. Like, that has nothing to do. That's why I was just like, oh, this is invalid.
Yeah,
I'm
stupid.
Just going to keep.
But to your question, you're from the Midwest, right?
I am.
So I am from the Midwest as well. When I was in the Midwest and there were people, you know, of Hispanic, Chicano, Latino descent, they couldn't say the word nigga where I'm from.
Mm-hmm. That's only in New York.
I truly believe that's only in New York that you can say that.
So you couldn't say it
in Elkhart, Indiana either.
You could say it in Baltimore. There's also not a large nationality, but there's only black and white people in Baltimore, but you can't say that anywhere but New York.
I didn't know that that was even a thing. So when I came here, one of the first places I lived was Washington Heights.
Oh, God.
You know, 183 Fort Washington, que lo va, primo. So when I first moved there, somebody, you know, like, hey, yo, primo, que lo va, what up, nigga? And I turned around, I was like, who the fuck are you talking to? And then you're like, yo, nigga. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, and the way that he said it, the familiarity.
I was like, is that a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do people do that?
Only in Nueva York.
Yeah. But to me, that speaks to like a little, right, the culture thing that you talked about, right? Because I don't even know if I'm right when I'm saying this, but it feels like because black culture is so magnetic that it feels as if people have adopted it with all the benefits of blackness without necessarily having the other attributes as well. Like they say when it's convenient.
That's white people.
It feels convenient. And again, with the history, there is some of that, right? Like Afro-Latinos, like, you know, in Brazil and in Cuba and all that. But then there's also this other thing, right? Where, you know, people say that, you know, we are void of African descent. And so it feels like there's this, you know, this smorgasbord of Africanness that's, you know, scattered about and people pick and choose it for when they want to use it. And so I'm like, however you identify yourself is however you identify yourself, but I'm curious to see where the allies are when our issues come up, right? Mm-hmm. And then how do you use,
especially since we're the front leaders of a lot of these things? Like I think about SNCC, I think about the civil rights movement, and how a lot of people of color benefit from us dying, being bitten by dogs and exposed to hoses and all of these different things, but they benefited from the ability to vote, to own property, to do all of these things and not necessarily have to experience any of those repercussions.
No, to that point, that's when you think about anything. Like there was a tweet even just circulating about, it was like a Colors episode and it was like a racially ambiguous woman singing and it was like, I can't take another avocado toast white woman or something like that. And it's like, you know, that's an everything. It can be. No, it wasn't her. You're not talking about her. I'm still looking for tickets now. I'm being front and center.
No, Snow Allegra, yeah, but,
like,
you know.
No, she, we, I have, I've debated her this morning. I'm not doing that again. Snow is one of us, okay?
I love Snow.
No,
no, I don't, she's again, not one of us. Pipe down, sis.
Anywho. It is so easy to take the things of Black culture that mm-hmm. you want, and then mm-hmm. when it comes time to, like, really do the nitty gritty. No, I can't really name anyone. Like, that's why Miley Cyrus can easily, like I said, we can see that in anything, whether it's music, sports, like, whatever.
Right.
You can easily float in and out and take the things of Black culture that you want, but when it comes time to really get behind us and stand with us. I can't think of one person. Like, I literally, is it Chelsea Handler? That's crazy if that is our person. I literally cannot think of one person.
That's a good comment.
I mean, I think people do it politically. They grandstand. Beto, I think, you know, is an advocate, you know, to some degree. I think that people stand and they say great things. But, you know, like, when you speak about, you know, like I said, the Chicano, Latino, the Hispanic, you know, experience, they have their own fights and they have mm-hmm. their own struggles, and they're very clear. Like, they're a very, as much as Jews have the Jewish people have a voting block, so too do, you know, Hispanics, mm-hmm. you know, and they're very clear about what their agenda is. And so I think that, you know, aligning with the African diasporic experience, I think it did happen. Like, there are, like you said, depending upon where the boat dropped you off, there was, you know, some commingling, some cohabitation. There were some babies mm-hmm. that happened. and now, what do you do? Like, you know, do you align with us? Like, why are we, are you bringing it up because you think that we are one people? Is that mm-hmm. what you're saying? And if so, how do you fight with us? Because we, like you said, like, you know, the civil, the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act of, what is that, 64?
Mm-hmm.
Right? It freed up a lot for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anytime we as people of color in this country, African Americans, when we have stepped up and we've created change, the benefits of that change were felt, you know, throughout it, you know, the reverb was felt throughout the country. So white women benefited,
mm-hmm.
You know, poor people benefited, mm-hmm. Minority groups benefited. And then so all these great things happen because we pushed the agenda. But then when it comes time to say, okay, now you're saying you're this.
Yeah.
Are you really riding with us?
Mm-hmm.
Or is this just a soundbite? Because that's, to me, what it feels like. It just feels like a soundbite, something good to say for, it's just Twitter fodder. But now how does that actually play out? I don't know how it does.
I would say that is TBD.
Right.
That is to be determined.
Right.
We typically do a political segment, but I almost feel like,
oh yeah, we did it.
Yeah. I think we could, because, you know, it's also so,
cross it off the list.
Yeah, right. It's also so much, like, happening that, yeah, that
we'll save that.
Yeah,
for next
I was
week.
Literally like, who child?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot. And honestly, that's why shows are thriving right now. Like, you know, I really do believe that as this next political, as we vote for this next president, I think you're going to see more shows, you know, The Real Housewives of whoever. You're going to see Love and Hip Hop,
Liz is whoever. Excited.
And, I think because it's so dense right now, because the issues are so great, I think that it's important for people to be distracted. And it's really difficult to read anything, you know, CNN, BBC, Al Jazeera, like, it's difficult to read any of that because it feels like everyone is so biased. It feels like...
I literally was saying this the other day, that I wish that there was a news network mm-hmm. that was completely unbiased because I literally have to watch both CNN and Fox News, and especially, and we won't go into this because it's literally long and drawn out, so we'll do it next week, but the whole, like, impeachment thing, the mm-hmm. impeachment proceedings,
mm-hmm.
and I watched Fox News for like 30 minutes just to understand their positioning on how they were gonna approach this. Totally different from CNN.
Yeah.
And it's just like polarizing. So mm-hmm. I'm like, how do we figure out a way to get just pure facts?
The facts.
And same for CNN too, you know?
Well, that's the thing. We live in an age right now where there is no empirical truth.
Yeah.
And because there is no empirical truth, what do you read then?
Mm-hmm.
What do you read? Who do you talk to? Because if everyone has, and that's the, you know, with social media, everybody's right. Mm-hmm. Anytime somebody says anything about any point, there's another person that comes with another point. And it's like, we live in a time where truth is how many followers you have. Mm-hmm. Like, the biggest voice is the brightest voice. Right. You know,
and so well, to your point also, I think almost what you're doing of having both and then having conversations to foster whatever it is, because it's like your search feed is just going to show kind of like how you already think. So this information, even if you're not looking for it, it's going to come to you in ways that, again, you don't even have to search for it. It's going to formulate what your opinion should kind of already be. Mm-hmm. So you almost need what you were saying, like the both sides of the coin, to then say, okay, now I know you think this, you think this.
But she's the anomaly.
Right. But that's why I'm saying it needs to be more of that. Yeah. Because we're not going to have an unbiased view of anything. It's not going to happen. Like, that's in anything also. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be. So
that's why conversation is also so important. That's why I appreciated that revolt panel. Because initially I didn't like it.
People were like, oh my God, you're having King Gold. It's pandering. And I was like, no, I'm not mad at having an opposing viewpoint that is typically that audience is not going to agree with her.
Right.
At all.
They gave her a hard time.
Yeah, I'm sure. I thought it was like born her, like all types of shit. Like,
that's why Katrina was quiet as a church mouse.
Yeah. I thought it was fake when I first saw it. I heard it. I was like, oh, okay. Because I also thought it was just her. I didn't realize she was on a panel of amongst other people.
Yeah.
And then somebody was like, oh, no, it's fake. And then when I saw the clip, I was like, oh, so this wasn't fake. This was real. Mm-hmm. But I'm not. I also think this is the most coverage Revolt has ever gotten, which is probably also what they knew was going to happen. When have you ever watched a Revolt panel outside of this?
Never.
Exactly.
Right. I was like, oh, I'm not going anywhere.
This is the fourth. Yeah. You know, this is like the fourth Revolt summit.
Yeah.
You ain't never seen one. I believe they were all live streamed. Like,
yeah, and they had... They had a whole bunch of music stuff, but the political segment was that was
the big deal. I did. I thought it was super smart to engage people on that, because otherwise, you, like you said, you're not watching it.
We have this issue right now where, like you said, everything is polarized. I think the bigger issue you talk about Candace talking about, you know, you believe with the 10%. The problem is that we have a two-party system.
I know.
And you know, like I respect and I understand, you know, the independent, you know, movement. Most countries have 13, 14, 15 parties, and you know, there's never just this or just that. Like, there's always some nuances of people really trying to find their voice politically, and we've pushed ourselves into this two-party system. And now, in order for you to feel justified, to feel, you know, like your voice is being heard, you don't go to anyone else. You find your echo room, and then you just spew the shit that you believe, and have other people be like, I agree.
Yeah.
You are absolutely right.
Yeah.
So how do we challenge our own echo rooms? Like I said, you're the exception. You know, you're not the rule. And that's why it's so difficult to be involved in American politics, is because no one is really trying to hear anyone.
Right.
No one cares about, you know, it's either you're pro-life or you're pro-choice, and that's it. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's why the Dave Chappelle special was so funny. Instrumental. Mm-hmm. And so, because I think comedians right now are the true reporters of our time.
Mm-hmm. And they're trying to attack them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but because they know we're still listening.
Yeah.
Right. And so you find the artists and the creatives. These are the people that are actually speaking to the truth, because they have no political agenda. Mm-hmm. They just get up there and talk. And so when Dave Chappelle, you know, he talks about, you know, this, you know, the political landscape and what's happening now, it feels like I'm watching a better version of the news than I am when I watch the CNN or Fox, mm-hmm. because I'm actually like, oh yeah, like I get that. That makes sense to me.
And it's hard truths. Like, it's also because it's in comedy. I'm doing air quotes when I do that. So it's, you know, you can laugh it off, but some people, but the same way, like some people are going to be highly offended. Some people, I thought it was hilarious.
I did too.
I don't get offended easily.
People
like
that get offended.
Me too. You didn't have to.
I don't get offended easily. Yeah, you did not. That's why he's like, you're watching.
James watched to be offended.
Too personally. Take
offense. I get it, and that is your choice. And you absolutely have that choice. I thought it was hilarious, personally.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think, so we have more challenges, everybody. You and I have to communicate effectively. And for all of the listeners, the challenge then is to be open to a different viewpoint and to see both sides of the coin. You don't have to agree with it. It's the same thing with Dave Chappelle shit. You ain't got to agree with it, but that shit was motherfucking funny.
Yeah.
And then you can formulate your own opinions once you have all the facts.
And the thing about his special was that he wasn't saying anything as if it was coming from his own perspective. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. you know, even about the, you know, the trans jokes. Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, when yeah, in the car.
Yeah. Well, yeah. well the Asian person. What?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was saying people would say, if I did this, I would be racist. Mm-hmm. But he said, no, this is how I feel mm-hmm. on the inside. You know what I mean? So he, mm-hmm. but he knows what he's doing. He's trying to get people triggered because we need to have bigger conversations
absolutely.
Outside of you being offended.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. I loved it. Our closing show questions. What would you tell your younger self?
What would I tell my younger self?
In Grand Rapids.
Probably drink some more water. Shit. Shit. If I could tell myself anything, I would say, you know, I got it. You need to go to sleep at a certain time and wake up at a certain time. Like, go to sleep at 11, wake up at 6. Like, be more intentional about getting to bed on time and waking up on time.
Mm. Ooh. I always did. Yeah, I'm like, I'd be sleepy as shit, so.
Sleepiest person I know.
Sleepiest person ever. What do you know for sure?
That the answer to our problems comes from within, not from without.
That kind of ties That's into good. The challenge, too.
Yeah.
Come on, all tying in. Yes.
Oh, and then back to your tarot card reading and how he said that really we go to church or to a
you
therapist
have to, yes.
or a life coach so that we can center.
That's it. It's just about, so you got to find what works for you, child. This is, yes. Thank you so much for coming,
Thank you
Victor.
For having me. You guys
My
are
Midwest
amazing.
Brethren.
Thank you. Yeah.
yeah, no, I've listened to your podcast. Thank you for inviting me. You have a fan and a follower.
Yes.
And I appreciate it. I mean, my life has always been bookended by brilliant, beautiful black women. And I, every time
not the stale breads, like
not the back of the bread, sisters.
Not the back of the bread, no,
yeah,
sir.
No, but I believe that black women are always at the forefront of change, and so just being here is a privilege. So thank you guys very much.
Oh, thank you. Panda. That's what he said. The new thing.
Okay.
I was like, I'm gonna stop that. I said when black, like anytime like black men say anything about black women, I'd be like, pandering, panda, mm-hmm, panda, panda.
But, I mean
but it's not. Yeah, exactly. It's not. Yeah. I was like, I'm joking. I'm joking.
We got a real ally, Victor, today.
Right. Exactly. Real ally. The quote of the day is: someday you will understand why that door didn't open, or that person walked away, or the answer was no, and you'll thank God that he didn't give you a yes that would have led you away from his best. Oh, that rhymed. Mandy Hale. So that is the quote of the day. Victor, again, thank you so much.
Thank you so much
for joining us.
I am very appreciative. Thank you for the opportunity to talk.
Thank you. No bullshit sandwiches, y'all.
Never.
Bye.
Bye.